It's Women of Influence Day here at the radio station, brought to you by Venture Norfolk. I'm on the phone right now with Stella Barker, Executive Director at NACL. And Stella, maybe we can just start off learning a bit about you. Are you one of those Norfolk County born and raised individuals, or what brought you to the area?
Well, that's interesting. Actually, I was born and raised in Burlington and moved here just around 30 years ago to take this job at this Association for Community Living and in this community called Simcoe in Norfolk County. And I fell in love with this location, with the community and the sense of spirit in this community, and I fell in love with this organization, the Norfolk Association for Community Living. And lo and behold, here I am 30 years later, where I'm still here. I've raised my family here, and still loving the work that I do every day.
And can we just talk about just what NACL does, and maybe just talk about just what it was like when you first started compared to like what it's like in 2021, just the evolution since you've been there?
Yeah, wow. You know what? When I think back 30 years ago on some of the theories that we had, you know, our organization has always had the mission statement of promoting and supporting the inclusion of people with disabilities in all aspects of community life. How we've done that has changed over the years. The focus that we have on person-supported services, person-centered services, the focus on what individuals are looking for, what their goals are, and even some of the funding that we receive in terms of people having their own ability to choose what they do with their funding has really shifted in the 30 years that I've been here. But, you know, I think that this organization has always been on the leading edge of how we provide services, how we assist people to be as independent as possible in their community.
Now, we are talking to you because it's Women of Influence Day, and before we started recording, one of the things that you talked about is just the strong female influence that there is at NACL, and I guess maybe we can just talk about, has that always been the case? Has it always been like a very strong female lead, or is that something that too has evolved over time? And maybe just talk about your team there.
Yeah, this has always been an organization and a sector that is predominantly women that work in this sector. I have seen, though, in my 30 years, more and more men becoming attracted to this sector as a career and a place to have a really meaningful career. But we have predominantly women who work in our organization, and the influence that women have on the lives of people with a developmental disability and on the lives of our community in general is really quite outstanding, and we have some phenomenal women who work for us.
And maybe we can just talk a bit about your role there. Obviously, I know that there's a lot going on. Before we pivot to pandemic, let's just talk about what it kind of was like when everything was normal, if you will. What your role entailed, and just like some of the stuff that you get to do. I know whenever there was like a fundraiser, whenever there was like certain questions, you were always like the point person. There's always a lot on your plate, but you have a lot of connections in Norfolk due to that.
Yeah, I guess my role as the executive director is kind of balancing the actual service and the operational needs of the organization, along with our community connections and networks, and part of that is our fundraising and our awareness in the community of people with disabilities and some of the challenges that are faced, whether it's housing, poverty levels, bullying, or, you know, so balancing that with our actual direct service operations and needs and the requirements that we need to fulfill with our funding from the provincial government. So it's a real combination of roles that I play here within this organization.
Now, maybe we can just talk about just how drastically COVID-19 changed the way you operate. Your job is not something that you can just go, oh, I'm just going to sit back, it's all going to be virtual now. I guess, how do you adapt to this crisis that happens on a global level?
Yeah, it felt like it was like overnight that we went from I was actually in training the week before on social role valorization and, you know, looking at how we as an agency can even increase our independence for people and help people people with independence. And we literally overnight changed from that way of thinking to how do we ensure people are as safe as possible and as healthy as possible. So we immediately went into a very different role of ensuring that people had the right personal protective equipment, adhering to guidelines that we received from the ministry where people who were involved in what we call our lifestyle support services weren't able to actually access their community and go out and do things. So now we had to look at how do we help people be as independent as possible in their own homes, and looking at how we can provide virtual options and connect people virtually with their community. So it was a real shift for us in terms of how do we help people still remain a part of their community and keep people safe at the same time.
And I think that goes back to the wonderful team that you were talking about before, that this is by no means an easy pivot, and they definitely stepped up to the plate and just really knocked it out of the park.
Oh, my goodness, they sure have. You know, we've had teams who have really stretched their imagination and their creativity to help people find what they can do in their own home. We've had people who've assisted elderly families to be able to connect with their loved one virtually. And, you know, we've had a number of team members who've actually lived through outbreaks at locations where we're providing supports and really been able to work through those outbreaks and continue to provide the level of service that people involved in NACL's services come to expect and need from that support. And I cannot say enough about the women and the men who work for our organization and what they've done over this past year and a half.
And to end on an optimistic kind of note, I guess, with cases going down, vaccinations rolling out, hopefully the world getting back to normal, what are plans moving forward? What are some things that you envision or hope to see, let's say, this same time in 2022?
Yeah, we're really excited to be able to look at how people can reconnect with their families and with their community and get back to some of that in-person types of meetings. Although we do want to, you know, we learned a lot over the past year and a half about how virtually people can continue to connect. So I really hope that we'll be able to keep some of the great stuff that we've learned and some of the innovative ways we've been able to move some of our services forward even through these difficult times. But we're really looking forward to getting back to really addressing some of the issues around affordable housing, you know, about poverty levels for people and people being able to really be a part of their community and the activities that are happening in their community. And we're so excited and we're hopeful for the future that we'll be able to get back at that.